attribute of the Father, saying, I am the leader, I'm the shepherd of the flock. And I think this morning in your devotional reading, you might have read some in Ezekiel 34 about the priests and the kings. They were bad shepherds. They were selfish shepherds. They took from people and did not serve them. So the Old Testament gives us a picture of good shepherding with the Lord and bad shepherding with corrupt leaders. The Old Testament gives us a picture of a firefighter and a selfish cruise ship captain, a good shepherd and a bad shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Why is he good? Why? The reason is this. He willingly lays down his life for his sheep. In John 15, 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. Jesus willingly lays down his life for his sheep. I want to unpack what true love is by making 3 points about love. And then finally, I want to show how it relates to us. The first aspect of the love of Jesus is this. It puts the needs of others first. Jesus-like love puts the needs of others first. This text says in verse 13, when a wolf comes, the hired hand flees. Now, a hired hand is somebody there that's just trying to get a paycheck. He's just going to work, watching some sheep, trying to get a paycheck and go home. He doesn't own the sheep. He doesn't care about the sheep personally. If a wolf comes, he's like, yeah, I'm out. The good shepherd says, those are my sheep. I care for them. And remember, what are sheep? Sheep are, well, they are us, but sheep are also what? Dumb. Sheep are dumb. And the good shepherd even cares about dumb animals. He cares for them personally. The sheep never say to the shepherd, oh, shepherd, thank you so much for looking after us today. You are such a great shepherd. Can I just give you a gift card and take your wife out to Olive Garden or something? Can you do that? The sheep never express appreciation to the shepherd. They're dumb. They just wander around. And the good shepherd cares for them. He puts their needs above his own. Love means we consider the needs of others above ourselves. We are inherently selfish. Everybody say this. I am selfish. It's true. It's true. If someone takes a group picture and shows you the picture, who do you look at out of the whole group? You. You don't even look at anybody else. It's just, how do I look in that photo? When plans change, who do you think about those changed plans affecting the most? You. When there's credit or recognition to be given, who do you think about getting it? You. When you walked into your cabin and you staked out which bed you were gonna have, did you think, I'm going to let everybody else here pick their bed first because I want them to have the best spot and I don't really care? Maybe a couple of you did, but most people were like, I want that. No, I want that. I'll take that one, right? We think about us first. We love us. We love ourselves. Who do you love to talk about the most? You. When there's a line at the blob or the zip line, who do you want to see move up in the line first? Even if you're super nice and let somebody go ahead, who do you really want to go first? You. We love us. When your house needs cleaned at home and maybe you have siblings, who do you hope does most of the work? Them. You want to do the least amount of work. Our sinful nature is addicted to self. We love us. And love begins with an outward-facing posture that looks to the needs of others and considers them better than self. Last week at our church, we had vacation Bible school. There was a couple hundred kids running around playing, and all these kids were getting dropped off, and I saw like a little five-year-old, his mom dropped him off, and he was really nervous and scared, and he went out into this big field with kids, and he started crying. He's just a little guy. And I saw a fourth grader walk over to him. A bunch of the bigger kids are playing football. Nothing wrong with that. They're just having a good time. But I saw one of those kids walk over, put his hand around him and just talked to him, and he stayed there with this kid for 5 minutes. Now, most people don't even notice that kid to do that because we're thinking about what we want to do. Love thinks about other people. Love, like, literally looks around. When you're at camp this week, look around. Is there anybody that just seems alone? When you go to church, so I'm a pastor, and I want our church to love one another really, really well. And sometimes after church, everybody's hanging out, and I just look around, and sometimes I see some lonely people, and it hurts my heart when I see people who are best friends, and I love that they are best friends, but they're all circled up talking to each other. Love has an outward-facing posture where we look around and we go, who has needs that I can meet? Love is considerate. It considers the needs of others. The good shepherd says, hey, sheep, you're dumb, but I'm considering you. I care about you. The second aspect of real Jesus-like love is that love is sacrificial. Love is sacrificial. Sacrifice means that you give something up. It means you lose something to get a greater something. In baseball or softball, a sacrifice bunt is where one person bunts the ball and they're going to most likely be out for the greater good of the team to score a run. They give up their right to get a hit for the greater good of the team. Sacrifice means we give something up. This could mean we give up our time. Maybe you want to hang out with a friend, but you know your 80-year-old neighbor needs help. Sacrificial love says, you know what, I'm going to hit pause with my friend and I'm going to go help an 80-year-old neighbor that needs some help. It could mean sacrificing money. Some of you work hard to get the money you have, and it could mean that there's a good cause, a need that you need to give to, and you got to give up some of that money to show the love of Jesus. It could mean sacrificing your comfort. One of my favorite movies has a man who's living in the Great Depression, and he goes to work and he makes just a little bit of money, just barely enough to buy bread for his family. And at dinner that night, he hands out bread to his kids and his wife, and he has a little bit of his bread, but he kind of turns around and slips the rest into his pocket. And he does that every night because the next day then he brings that bread back out to give to his wife and his children. That's sacrificial love. He's going without so that they can have. The greatest form of sacrificial love is that Jesus Christ gave his very life. The King of heaven emptied himself, took on flesh, suffered, bled, and died for us to be saved. This is amazing. Look at the emphasis in this text, verse 11. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, I lay down my life. Verse 18, I lay it down. Jesus lost his life so that you and I can live. That is amazing. I know we hear it a lot. Jesus died for our sins. But think about it. The King of heaven that owes us nothing came to earth and died so that we can live in heaven with him forever. We use the word love a lot, but if love does not have sacrifice, it's not love. A lot of times people use the word love, and all that they mean is, that person makes me feel good about me. That's not love. Love is sacrifice. Part of my job as a pastor is to do premarital counseling and sometimes marriage counseling. And sometimes a couple comes in and they're having some troubles in their marriage and we try to talk it out. And a lot of times I'll just talk to the husband one-on-one and we look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. And it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, meaning he died for her. So the husband will be sitting there and he said, my wife does this, and she never does that, and she always does this, and she's like that, and he lists off all these things, and I try to very gently say, hey, dude, what about you? Do you die sacrificially for the good of your wife? Do you ever do the dishes? Do you take out the garbage? On Saturday, do you go to the golf course all day? Do you ever say to her, hey, why don't you go out all day so that I can take care of the house? Husband, do you walk in the house and just scroll on your phone? Husband, do you ever ask your wife a question? And here's a crazy idea. Listen to her when she answers, right? It takes sacrifice. I'm not that sarcastic with them usually because I don't want to get punched in the face. But my point is, I ask questions and I say, husband, are you laying down your life like Jesus for the good of your wife? Until you do, I don't want to hear about her. Lay down your life for the good of the other. That's what Jesus does. That's our good shepherd. This is the third aspect of love. Love means that we willingly sacrifice. Willingly, we sacrifice. Some people make sacrifices for others, but they complain about it, or they want credit for it. They're like, hey, remember when I did that thing? You know, they want credit for it. Or they feel forced into it. It'd be like if you went to visit your grandma in the hospital, but you really wanted to be at home watching a TV show. And you get there, and your grandma says, oh, it's so good to see you. And you say, well, I don't really want to be here, but my mom said I have to come for 10 minutes, so I'm here. Your grandma should pop you in the face if you do that, all right? That's not willing. That's not willing sacrificial love that considers the other. Love is willing. Look at verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus, this is a crazy thought. The Father in heaven gave Jesus the mission to go to the cross, and Jesus did not have to do it. That's crazy. Scriptures tell us Jesus was obedient to his Father. Jesus chose willingly to lay down his life. Willingly. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the people come to arrest him and they're like, we're going to take you, we're going to execute you. And Jesus, you know what he says? He's like, hey, just so you know, I can call down like 40,000 angels on you right now if I want. So you're not taking my life from me. I'm laying it down. He chose willingly to lay down his life. Willingness is a necessary ingredient for love. And willingness is beautiful. If my wife says, hey, can you please bring me a cup of coffee? I could serve her in love by bringing her a cup of coffee. But it's more beautiful if I notice my wife sitting there reading a book in the morning and I notice she doesn't have her coffee, and I go make her coffee, and I bring it to her, and I give it to her, and I give her a little smooch on the forehead, and I say, I love you. That's more beautiful, right? That's willing love. I'm considering the needs of others. The greatest love ever shown was willing, sacrificial action for the good of others. Jesus is our good shepherd who loves us like that. So know this tonight. Know this for a fact. You are loved by God. You are loved deeply by God. If you were ever feeling unloved, if you were ever feeling alone or worthless or depressed, if you're ever feeling shame, if you're ever feeling like you want to hurt yourself, you are loved by God Almighty. You were loved so much that he came to this earth to die for you. You were loved. You are a sheep, and you are loved by the Good Shepherd. Here's what else this means. This is the really important implication for us. Go ahead and flip in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, that's toward the end of your Bible. So John writes the Gospel of John, but then he actually became a pastor. And he lived to an old age, and he was a pastor in the city of Ephesus. And he wrote some letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, to the church in Ephesus. And then he also wrote the book of Revelation. But in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, we read this. 1 John 3:16. It reads this: "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." So what does Pastor John say? He says, Jesus died for us. He laid down his life for us. Therefore, we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Let me ask you this. Would your friends consider you to be sacrificially loving? I'm not talking about would your friends consider you to be the type of person that gives a big hug and says, "Oh, I love you, man," or a high five, fist bump, whatever. That's easy. That's talk. Would your friends consider you to be sacrificially loving? Would they say, yeah, they think of other people first? Would your parents say that? Would your siblings say that? Or are you kind of selfish? Are you the firefighter, or are you the cruise ship captain? Do you think of yourself first, or do you think of others? When I was in college, I spent 2 summers working at the second greatest church camp ever. The first greatest church camp, of course, is... The second greatest church camp is Kanakut Camps, where I worked in Missouri. And they had a saying there that still sticks with me. The saying is, "I'm third. I'm third." What it means is, in all things in life, God is first. He is our first priority. Others are second, and I'm third. So I consider God first over all things and others second. And often while I'm considering others second, I'm also considering God, and I'm third. That is love. So let me ask you, if you play sports, if someone else gets playing time instead of you, how do you respond? Can you cheer for them? Can you say, "I'm third"? Your cabin this week. Are you being selfish? Or can you say, "I want to glorify God by putting the needs of others ahead of my own, and I'm third"? At school, the way you walk the halls, the way you interact with people in the lunchroom, can you say, "I'm third"? Around your house, if something needs to be done, can you say, "I'm third"? I'm third. Jesus is like that. I'm third. What about as you think about your dreams for your life? Are your dreams, "I want to make as much money as I can and do whatever I want and live for me"? Or can you say, "I want to live for the glory of God and the joy of others, and I'm third"? Here's the deal. I've said this a few times. You're not little kids anymore. You are becoming young adults, where you make the decision of if you're going to love people like Jesus or not. And you're always becoming someone. You're either becoming someone like that ship captain, or you're becoming someone like that fireman. You're becoming a selfish person with every choice you make, or you're becoming Christ-like. And someday, who you are now snowballs into the kind of maybe husband or wife you're going to be, maybe the neighbor you're going to be, maybe the coworker you're going to be. You're becoming an adult. Which kind of adult are you becoming? Someone that loves other people like the Good Shepherd? or not. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And I hope that we will lay down our lives for others and we will be a people that says, God is first, others are second, and I'm third. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you that we are loved in Christ, that the Good Shepherd has willingly laid down his life. We pray that in all things you will be first. You'll give us eyes to see others' needs second, and we will happily, joyfully be third. In Jesus' name, amen.